Welcome today to another week of broadcast on Sermon and Song. I encourage you to listen all the way through the program and get our address at the close of the program today and let us know that you're listening. If you're a first-time listener, listen again at the appointed time, and by all means, then listen until you decide whether or not this is really the gospel that we're preaching, and then let us know with a note, a letter, or whatever, to let us know that you're listening to the program. It's an encouragement to our heart when you write to tell us that you are listening. This is a faith ministry, and we encourage you to write and pray for us. That's more important than anything else. And if that's all you can do, then certainly you've done a great thing for God. Now, today we go to chapter 5 in 1 Peter. We have moved now to chapter 5, and the subject changes here a little bit. Now, the entire book of 1 Peter, I have been pointing out, has to do with the suffering of the Christian and what kind of attitude he ought to have toward that suffering, and how he ought to live. Of course, there's many other things entwined, and we've tried to talk about every one of them as we've talked and preached verse by verse. Actually, I'm trying to preach the book of 1 Peter rather than teach it. However, in preaching it, I've got to tell you what it says and what it means. And I hope it's been a blessing thus far and will continue to be. Chapter 5, let's begin right there. The subject changes just a little bit as Peter turns his mind from the people in the church, in the local body of born-again believers. That's what the church is. Now, I know that there is a church formed on the day of Pentecost, which is the body of Christ. It has been added to and will be added to until the rapture of the church, and then at the rapture of the church, that body will be complete and then will be a full-fledged, complete church. But on earth, there are congregations of individuals that meet together on a local level, though they cannot all meet together in the whole world. They can meet in local congregations, and that represents the body of Christ. Now, he turns his attention here away from the church, the members and the people of the church, to the leaders in the church. And this is interesting. Now, you folks who are not preachers and who are not leaders in the church, you can sort of sit back and relax a little bit, because we're going to spend some time with these verses here that have to do with what preachers and leaders and teachers ought to be in this day according to the precious Word of God, not according to some book I've picked up in a library. I'm not giving you an outline that I've read on how to become a successful preacher. I really could say that in very few words. It wouldn't take much of a book for me to write a book on how to become a successful preacher. I could write that book in 15 minutes. So I'm not telling you some outline that I've read in a book on how to become a successful preacher, how to build the biggest church, how to have the greatest influence in the community, and all of that. I'm going to turn the attention, as Peter does here, to the leaders in the church. And he starts the chapter off saying, "The elders, which are among you." Now, the word elders is plural, and I acknowledge that. I certainly acknowledge that. But I also have to acknowledge that there was more than one congregation of people in these areas. There was more than one congregation of people. Now, don't forget that. Don't get in your mind that by this time in the history of the church that everybody met together. They couldn't meet together because they had a great gathering in Jerusalem, and then they were scattered throughout all of the earth to carry the message of the gospel. And so they met, like Lydia and those met out on the side of the sea, and the Apostle Paul came along and preached to them and led them to the Lord, and then they started a church there. Now, in some of these churches in the Bible, there was only one church in an area. That is, one local church in an area. But by now, I'm sure there must have been several. And so now he's talking to the elders. Now I'm going to point out who that is, and then I'm going to move right on as to what God expects of those elders. And I'm not going to do this in an argumentative way. I just challenge you to look at these verses without searching anywhere else in the Bible. You can get a very clear answer here. Now, certainly you search the Scriptures to find the truth. But let me give you a very simple answer. I believe I'll take the time to do it today, and then as we go back over it, it will be more clearer to you. In verse 1, he says, the elders. Now, those are the ones who are pastors of churches. The elders which are among you, I exhort. He said, I'm an elder. I'm a preacher. So anyone who preaches the gospel. The Apostle Paul started churches. He was an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ. Then in verse 2, he says, feed the flock. Now, that's the pastor. Feed the flock. The word pastor comes from the word pastor or pasture the flock, you see. Feed them. See that they get food. Don't just rant and rave at them all the time. I'll get back to that. Now, in the middle of verse 2, he says, taking the oversight. Now, that word oversight is the same word as bishop. Now, I don't mean it's the same Greek word because I didn't look it up. I don't really need the Greek to know that a bishop is an overseer. A bishop is an overseer. Now, he's talking to the elders, and he says, first of all, you feed the flock. Second, you take the oversight of the flock. And then he says in verse 3, neither be lords over God's heritage. You are not a dictator. You're not a dictator. You don't involve yourself in other people's consciences. You do not tell people what they can do and what they cannot do except as the Bible says it. And you preach the Bible. And then verse 4, and when the chief shepherd, that's the chief pastor, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to know who the head of the church is, he is the chief shepherd. So there you have elders. And you have pastors, and you have bishops, right there in that verse, all talking to the same people. Now, I want you to keep that in your mind as we go through these verses. And if you have been called of God to preach the Word of God, now, I'm not one to tell you very much because I'm just not that wise. I'm just trying to do the best I can to preach the gospel, and I don't claim any great insight. I just want you to listen, please, to what the Bible has to say. And let's get some preachers listening this week as we go through the first part of this chapter.